This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
The first piece in the perek here, he had spoken about the need to push the Yetzirah back. In other words, to do melchama with the Yetzirah. And he had said that it's something very difficult. You need to have HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take him out. So, in line with that, he says, "Adam ashatzorch laasei tzahara yilmud mi avasoylam drachem harbi." He can acquire much from avasoylam. Meishes shaninu b'sechtes avas Rabbi Eimei stakel gimel dvarim v'chein akavim stakel shalosh dvarim v'dachet and so on. I want to sort of explain the flow of it. Where it's coming from and so on. The point of it is that the person is since the Yetzirah is part and parcel of the person himself, it's not possible to figure it out yourself. It's just like a person with almost any malady can help himself, except if he's neurologically impaired. A person suffers from dementia, or a person has any other neurological issue, he can't help himself. A drunk person can't be in control of himself, because being drunk means you know that your mind is affected. So if the Yetzirah were purely a very outside thing, and also I'm facing an outside person who stopped me from going to shul, I can think all sorts of, I can scheme all sorts of ways to get around it. But when I have when I have to deal with my own Yetzirah, so my own thinking is somewhat twisted and somewhat askew, and therefore I can't do it myself. So the first thing he said was to ask for Siyata Deshmaya. This is not only a Siyata Deshmaya in the sense a help, but just like everything else, just like for healing something else, I also need Siyata Deshmaya. Here, for the core mission itself, I need to have the Siyata Deshmaya. That's one. Secondly, in this case, I need also to take advice from other people. The Misal Sesharim has the famous mashal about somebody caught up in a maze, and the only people that can help him out are the people that have gone through the maze themselves. So you always need to ask advice for somebody who's been there, done that, and so on, because he could possibly help you with getting out of the maze, because he's actually done it. I remember there was once a boy in yeshiva started dating, and one of the rabbis asked him, are you speaking to anyone and getting advice about Shidduchim? And the person said, yes, he's speaking to an elder bacha, who must be about 27 at the time. He said he has a lot of dating experience, and I'm consulting him. And to which Rav Reingold responded, if the goal was to keep dating, he would be the perfect person to consult. The problem is the goal is to get married. This person doesn't seem to have much luck at it. So, for a person to ask advice from someone else is very important. One of the things that is stressed for people who are addicted in anything, in almost any area, it's not only drugs, it's even unless a person is addicted to eating or to other areas, anything that's passed into addiction, one of the most important things that get hammered home by all these AA, NA, etc. meetings is that you need the other person. You can't do it yourself. And you can't rely on yourself, you can't depend on yourself, you need the other person to do it. Because by definition, addiction is sort of has somewhat twisted your mind, and therefore you don't have the control it takes to make it happen. That's the definition of it. So here also the second one he says is you need to look at advice from Avos HaOlam. it's fascinating that he calls Pirkei Avos. The advice given is not from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. The advice is from Rebbe and from Akavya ben Mahalal. And the reason why he calls them Avos HaOlam, because the whole Mesechtas Avos in the Derech Chaim, the Maral explains as being very fundamental type of approaches. In other words, when a person is trying to better himself, this is true obviously physically also in physical health, there are the core issues which are universal, this and this disease, that and that problem, and then there is the specifics of how it's affecting him and what he needs to do specifically. So Pirkei Avos is called Avos because it deals with something which is very core. It deals with the shorish of something rather than just the symptoms and so on. So the so he says to go look at Pirkei Avos, and he says the fact that these are two mishnas are the beginning of the first two parakim that deal with it. The first parak deals obviously is Moshe Kibbutz Har Sinai, but the second and third parak start with Histakel Gimel Dvarim V'yatar Bal De'Avera or Chet. So that means that the Shmira from Chet and Avera is something that's core, and being called Pirkei Avos means that this is being dealt at the level of Avos and so on. ומפני ששני המוסרים הם מוסרים חשוב מאוד לסלגי יצור כך שני דברים רואי ששני פרופת. And the very fact that they're at the beginning of a perek tells me that these are very, very shorish tegenyanim. So by saying הסתגלם ועד ובודי עבירה, it's sort of directly confronting the issue of Yetzirah. And there's something about it being at the beginning of the parak as follows. We have things that treat things, and we have things, so to speak, that vaccinate. So let's say somebody's going off to yeshiva to learn. So we know certain issues will come up, and you can't give a person a litany of all the things that could come up and how to deal with it. And you say, you know, if and when he has a problem in area A, B, or C, somebody will deal with it or it will be dealt then appropriately and so on. But there are certain things that you mock in the person and say, before you go, let me tell you certain things that you're starting with. That's sort of, I guess, the equivalent of medicine would be vaccination. And the equivalent here would be the beginning of these two parakim starts with what is the musar or the isbainus to learn so that you don't come to the avera, so that you sort of immunize yourself to some degree from the Yetzirah. And basically this is following along with his point that he says that you need to be proactive about dealing with Yetzirah. It's not enough to be reactive, and therefore you need to do these things. Okay, let's see the next piece. Uperikei Darshan. This is a rather lengthy piece. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda ben Nachman mitrugmanya Rish Lakish Meirich Siv Al Taminu Bera Val Tiftechu Baluf. It says, don't believe in bad and don't depend on the strong one. Im Yoyim Lecha Yitzahara Chatei V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Moicha Al Tamin Bo. If Yitzahara tells you, do Averis, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is a great guy, he's going to forgive you, don't believe him. Shenema Al Taminu Bera Vein Ra'al Yitzahara Shem Ki Yitzah Vodam Ra'am Min Uruf. And in other words, don't think, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu will forgive me because, I'm a favorite of his. That's one aspect of what Chazal say. The second aspect is Shema Yema Adam Mi Meid Bi, and the answer is Avda Beisah Shel Adam Kor Beisah Riti Beisah Shel Adam Meidin Bo. Shenema Ke Evan Mikir Tizak Tanya Reb Shila Oime. So one is that the Avda Beisah Shel Adam. Tanya Pshilo Oime Shnei Malach Hashar Sam Lavan Lo Adam Meidin Boy Shnei Mekom Aloch Bi Tzavolach Rezreika Oime Nishmoser Adam Meidin Boy Shenema Mishecheves Chikecho Shmor Pischei Ficha Eizu Dovah Sheshoi Bechekesh Adam Hava Oime Zu Neshama Vachom Oimim Eivor Shodam Meidin Boy Shnei Atem Eidenu Mashem Vani Kel. Okay, so there are two elements in this Maim Chazal. One element is don't think Akash Baruch Hu will be a veteran. And the second element is who's going to be made, and you have different sheetahs in front of the army. So he explains both of them. gama maima ze bolo di lo adam ki be ula yitzo meses elachtoi v'yasha shovet mishpal ze. One of the ways that Tzahara is maces a person is to tell him, don't worry, he's not going to be mishpat. Dova zehu mina yitzahara shebe kirboi she maces oisal ze. It's coming dressed up ki'ilu a nice statement HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a veteran, don't worry. Val ze oma al tivtchu bera shu yitzahara. So he says there are two reasons why a person says Shalom Alei Nafshi. One is it conveys a horror, sort of a more emotional input. I guess the equivalent would be it's in America now. They have this, the lottery now has reached like an all-time high. It's like $500 million, and people are buying tickets like crazy. Bought tickets. I don't know if they, I have no idea if it was or wasn't. And I once heard Reb Noach Weinberg once asked. You know, he said, the statistics are that you have a much, much better chance of getting struck by lightning than of winning a lottery ticket. But many people buy lottery tickets, and very few people buy lightning insurance. Why? And the answer is because our wishful thinking projects itself onto the reality. We're not calculating, seichelic people saying, well, if I think it's kedai to invest a dollar for a 150 million chance or whatever it is, then it's kedai to invest a dollar for a 1 in a million chance. It's simple math. The answer is, well, that's not the way we act. We act with our wishful thinking as well. So when a person says, don't worry, it'll be okay, a lot of times, you know, teenagers are great at it. Don't worry, you know, Yeba said that. That comes simply from what he calls Yitzhara. It's a projection of one's wishes rather than any reason for calculation. So for that, he says, don't put any faith in Yitzhara. Don't put any faith in those feelings. But the second one is a more seichelic approach. And this has been one of the very, very delicate issues, a lot reflected by between the Hasidim and the tensions with certain types of Hasidim. You get a lot of not from people, quasi from people, who sort of endorse the Berdichev's approach. They say the old rabbis were very, very nasty, wicked rabbis. They spoke about how terrible Averis are and how much sin is going to cause you anguish and Gehenim and this and that. And it caused people to get depressed and broken and disheartened and dispirited. Leviatzer came around and told you how much God's Baruch loves you in every case, and this, you know, the worst avera, there's always tremendous things to be found good about you, and so on and so forth. And v'chulu v'chulu v'chulu. That type of thinking becomes sort of a it begins to become an ideology of sorts, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really, really punish. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of, he sort of threatens, but there, at the end of the day, he's a nice guy, and sort of, you know, push comes to shove, he doesn't quite make it happen. And it becomes a very, very, it starts becoming a almost a shita. And you know, we'll never talk about, when you don't talk about any consequence, you don't talk about God's always there for you. And the truth is, once the person has done that avera, so we need to say, despite the fact that, you know, there's a consequence for it, and you know, and yes, you will have to, you know, be punished, whatever it is, but God's wants to keep doing better, and you can uproot it through tshuva, through real tshuva, and so on and so forth. Those are all correct arguments. they also tend to become excuses why do it chatchila. That's what Chazal called echte vashuch. So he says, so the second part is maybe the person will use that type of reasoning for echte vashuch. So on there Chazal say, and so on. So let's talk first about, he doesn't quite flesh out the thought, but I think it's what he means. What's the connection of the two parts of Chazal? One part of Chazal is, don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to punish you. And the second one is, well, he's got great witnesses. He's got your house, he's got your this, he's got your that, he's got the other thing, and so on and so forth. Well, what's the connection? My Shmidas Har Sinai. So, the Nevi Shmuel Chaim speaks about it in a general way, and it's sort of I think it's the same intent. He brings a Chazal that if a person says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a veteran, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of foregoes giving punishments and that Yivat Al Chayayi, then his own life is forfeited. It's a very, very strong Lashon Chazal. And Nevi Shmuel Chaim explains what does Chazal mean with this. So he says like this, if punishment is considered an external type of factor, in other words, punishment is something that is... let's say, like we would do it. If you don't lend me your car, I'm not going to lend you my this or whatever it is. Forget the fact, that's us. But so I can always backtrack and say, okay, you know what? What the heck? Take care of it. Take it, and that's it. There's nothing to say that I can't cause it. That I can't forgo, forgive, because it's sort of it's a tit for a tat. It's two separate activities which I've linked with my dibur, and it can be unlinked. But let's say I tell somebody, you know, if you keep eating the amount you're eating, you're going to become very, very heavy. There's no way I can be mochel him for it. You know, the doctor tells somebody you mustn't eat because you know, with the weight you have is causing you problems with sugar and blood pressure and so on and so forth. And he warns him very, very strongly. The guy comes back here later and says, you know, I really indulged and I put on another 40, 50 pounds, but I sincerely regret it. Would you mind canceling your prediction that I'm going to get sugar and high blood pressure, whatever it is? Absurd. Because really what the doctor was telling you was what your actions are. Eating a lot is weight put on. It's not a reward, retaliation, retribution, anything. It's not a tit for tat. It is the mitzias. This is your mitzias. Haggadah's Eidus is as follows. The Maharal says this. He speaks about Pishnaim Edim Yokim Davar. He says the word Yokim means that the thing itself became a reality. For instance, if a person does an Avera and there's no record of it, so the Avera is an act I did, but it hasn't really gotten a reality in this world. The things that are real in this world are those things that have been stamped as valid. So if a person does an avera themselves between him and Hashem, it's real. To the world, it's not real. Edim, two Edim, when they come along and they both say Edis, that becomes a fact in the world. So just like in my relationship with people, I can suspect something's amiss just by sort of watching a person fidget and whatever it is, and I say, I don't know, I don't have a good feeling about this person. And you're right to be careful because of your suspicions. If one person comes along and tells you so-and-so has done X, Y, Z, you certainly are right to be choshesh. You need to be choshesh, but you have no right to label him. So if one person comes along and says this person stole, You have no right to label him as a thief. You have no right to call him a thief. You have no right to give him consequences, but you have an obligation to guard yourself and to make sure that you're not taken advantage of. And that's very, very important. But when two people come along and they say that so-and-so is a thief, so at that point, it's a reality. I can refer to him as a thief. I give him the consequence of thief. He has to return the money and so on. So two Adam become the Kiyum Hadava. There's another point that the Maral makes there. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it. Why two Adam? Everybody asks, why two Adam instead of one? And there are two answers. One is one person might lie, or one person might have thought he said saw something, but didn't really see it. Those are valid. But the correction that two make instead of one is not, it's an incremental correction. Three or four or five would be even better than two. And halachically, it's not true. So that's not so good. And also, you know, if people are lying, they have something in it. So two people is also the same. So what is the difference between two and one? And why is that the absolute difference? And between five and two, there's no difference. Even though logically, one would tell you that two are more likely to lie than five, or even have imagined it. So Morel says, when I make a statement, I see there is an apple in front of me. The only statement that I can validly make is, I see an apple in front of me. I can't, or I feel an apple, but it could be my eyes are the issue, or my fingers. I'm making a statement of observation, always. And whenever I make a statement of observation, I must include the observer in the picture. So just like when I say something has been spotted, a moon or a planet, whatever has been spotted, I always need to refer which telescope spotted where and when. Because the observer, the information about the observer qualifies the evidence. And the only true statement I can make is, I saw an apple. It might be that there's an apple there. That's what I saw, and my eyes are perfectly well, and the light was good. It might be that my eyes are okay, but that the lights are kind of strange, and what's really just a block of wood look like an apple. It could be my eyes are off. All three are possible. And therefore, I am not making a definitive statement when I say I saw an apple. But if two people see the same apple, then we're going to say, how is it that two different people have the same experience? There must be an objective reality here, which is an apple, and we both are hooking onto it. It's one of the reasons, for instance, you know, when people do drugs, Lalenu, no two people have the same experiences. So obviously, all of the drug is not unlocking some great world. It's basically, corrupting the person's mind and perception. So two edim, ha'edus is that which gives something its kiyum. Apishtayim edim yokum dava. The thing becomes a metzias, a reality. It has kiyum when you have two edim. Now. If Avera was simply an experience, I did something that Hashem said not to, and that's where it ends with, so it's not a reality, it's something which is a thing that I did, and it comes and it goes, and it's also possible Hashem should, at the end of the day, all I did was an act to that was not, like Hashem said, Hashem could forgive it, and that's that. But Avera is built into the system to affect the person. The person is affected by an Avera. He has a stamp of Ra on the person, and he's affected by it. And therefore, the person needs to... there is no makom to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say, it's okay. You've changed. You have become a worse person, a person worn away by the Avera, and therefore you're going to be and therefore it's not shaykh just to wipe it away. So he says, what are the areas? What does that mean? Ratzolaymar. Ki ha'odam im hu tzadik yesh lo bayis u'makom alyan ma'od ba'olam she'avasham ha'odam. So the first thing he says is the makom. We, in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu supplies the makom, and we come into this makom. The makom is the general sense of where we are, who we are, and what we are. So a person's setup, who am I, what assets do I have, what abilities do I have, what surroundings do I have, what challenges do I have, that's his makom, and that's all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the world to come, we build our makom. And therefore, v'ma'adam oisa rasha oisa ganke makom ra. So he made himself, he beds himself in a bad place. V'lakach ama avne beise v'koros beise me'idin olav. V'hakol ufi maisav shal adam. Yesh lan vegs b'malo oisa v'chiz. So where the person is, the makom of the person, that is his mohus. V'chein ome b'medrish, ki hoylech ha'adam l'beis oylamoy. So every single person has a place where he fits into, and that's based on who he is. So that's one. Two. So these are the koichas ruchnias, which are imprinted by a person's maisim. So a sense of the person's ruchnias. V'dovaze edus ala adam. Kem ha malachim shemres kumay shuru alias adam tachshos shem malachim. So the presence of Kohos Ruchnim around him are clear evidence of what the person is. It's just like Lahavdil, if you have something, if you see flies in the yard around something, you know that there's something rotten there. They're attracted to it. Lahavdil Malachim Tovim are attracted to a person who's Tov, and malachim royim surround the person who's ra, and the mitzvah expresses itself in those kochos, those malachim. I once heard a story, it's interesting, this many years ago, there was a levaya, I remember it was in front of me, yeshiva, it was a bitterly cold night, there was a yid Rav Shor, he was a rav in Cleveland, he had been close to a Baron Kotler, he was like a chavrusa, chaver of his, big talmud chacham, and the person was an old man, he passed away, and I remember I was resentful that they had it in front of the mirror. It was very, very cold, very bitterly cold, and they were about to go out. But then the kids were mouse-spit, and they said over a story that was just astounding. They said over that their father was, in World War One, he was together at the Alta Slabodka when they were running away. And there were bombs, there was fighting over, and everybody was very jittery. And the altar of Slabodka, not Nevada, Slabodka, was very calm. And he turned to him, you know, the Nifta, and asked the altar, everyone was so jittery, how come you're so calm? And, you know, like, what gives you the confidence that you're okay? And he said that it says in the Sefarim, every person has four malachim that accompany him, and as long as he's destined to live, and as long as they're there, he's Bein Achayim. He's destined to live, or he's meant to live. And he said, the Malachim have not left him, and therefore he feels very confident that he's going to live. It's that type of story you'd hear with the Al-Sabotka, but I heard this from the son of the person, at the Levaya, so I assume it's quite authentic. Okay. And finally you have the neshama of Adam Yedboy, Seiver can neshama Shabbat Hashem Yisbarach Adam Zak Otoira Nosnei Sebekirba. He said the neshama itself comes into a person very tohar. Vimutzadik, Hizako Utohoirik Meshbashans and Shama. And if it's a tzaddik, it remains that way. Avim Balchet Haneshama Zais Kiblo Tumo Vetiuf Lekach Haneshama Idabai. So this is fascinating because we say there's a Shaila where it's saying Neshama Shas Hati Bitohoira he or not. In other words, the word tahara he would mean that she is at present tahar. And the question is, do we say it or not if I know that I've done averus? And the answer is, according to many shitas and so on, it's tahara he because the neshama always remains tahar, even when he did an avera. And Nefesh HaChaim writes that as well. So what does he mean over here that the person is Shmosa Shalom Me'idabai when in effect we say that Neshama is never Neslachat Bavera? So I would answer it with the Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim explains that there are different levels of Neshama. There's Nefesh Ruach Neshama. Each one is affected differently by Avera. Nefesh is affected fully. In other words, the Kharis is chal on the Nefesh, and so on. And therefore, the Nefesh's Metzias really, really depends on the Avera or Chet or anything. Ruach level is affected in its brightness, so to speak, not in its essence. In other words, there's no Kharis that's chal on the Ruach. But in its level of glow, so to speak, just using the terms, and the neshama, what happens with the neshama is it's mistalic from the person. The neshama becomes distant from the person, and the person can't reach into the neshama. So that's how the different aspects are of the neshama are affected. So he says. These different ways in which one would either it's referring to neshama labdafka in terms of this is the Gemara, it's not a problem on the Maral, it's a problem on the Gemara really. So either it means that it happens to the lower levels of neshama, or it means the richuk of the neshama being made in the person is going to be by its leaving the person and, you know, going upwards or something like that. So, well, we'd have to say it's one of those sunyanim. If ulamandiyam evorim sh'adam me'idim boi, klayma, ha'evorim sh'adam shem ha'kara sh'adam tzurasoi v'tzalma sh'adam v'myukara adam. A person's evorim have a stamp on themselves of the person's ruchnias. And you can feel it. Sometimes you feel a person... It looks coarse. There's something about him that's rough, coarse, just not. And sometimes a person has himself a certain lichtigkeit. Kikash adam tzadik b'maisav azu b'tzel malikim. V'im adam rasha azu nimshal g'beim es nidme. When the fimash hu tzadik b'maisav v'rasha b'maisav, yeish hakara b'varav sheim tzalmoy hein l'ra hein l'toy. I guess one's word on stories. This story I heard from Rav Ebner Zechayin Avracha. He was a German a Talmud at a Meir Yeshiva, and he told me that the following story. He said Rabbi Yeruchim was the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva, and you know he would walk up and down the aisles during Seder, look at people, and you know, and either just keep going or he would sometimes look at you again, and you needed to come out and still talk to him. Said it was a very chashuv, one of the very, very chashuv bachim in the mir. Later became a mashgiach somewhere, and a very, very chashuv person, and known to be a chacham. He had an American Talmud. In those days, the Americans and Germans were weak bachim. They came from very, very limited background, and they, you know, obviously needed help catching up to what's happening in yeshiva. The Reb Leiz Yudel worked it out that they would pay an older chashev bacher to learn with them for a seder. And the advantage of that was they would get the help they need to, you know, to move forward. The Bachrim, the older Bacha would get paid for it, and that was good, very good. And I think it was part of a much bigger scheme of things. That's how Rabbi Yisrael did it, and it worked. So this very Chashev Bacha was learning with an American boy. And Rabbi Yochum calls out the older one, and he says to him, "How's your Talmud doing?" And he says, "Seems to be fine. You know, it seems to be doing okay." So Rabbi Yochum says, "Seems to be okay. Don't you see that he's losing his tzelem elokim? Don't you see that there's, you know, his face is becoming gored for avera?" So he was kind of shocked, and he did some snooping and finding out, and the boy was having his problems and issues, and so on. And eventually, this person actually—I have to know the name—and the person became a very fine, upright yid. Did a lot of good things, whatever. But the ability to look at the face and be able to tell the tzura from the person what he is, and you know, and how much has Avera etched away some of Kim is remarkable. It needs a certain clarity of vision. But Akoponim, again, I heard this from the person who was there. So he said, so depending on the person's tzura, one, you know, his face, he becomes either this or that. Well, if he mashu tzarek b'maisa rosh b'maisa, yesh akara b'varav. Yesh akara b'varav. So you have a varish adam meidim boy, and they given the person the edus of what he is, and so on and so forth. Okay, any questions? Good.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Next week I'm not going to be. I'm going up to the beginners again.